Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how those of us who are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked and sinful and wicked and dirty and grotesque in the eyes of God could come into fellowship with Him this very morning because of the blood of the Lamb. Amen? I don't know about you, but Episcopals can praise Him if they get that. Right, Lance? Lance is my in-house Episcopal that I pick on. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. As you're turning there, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of my hatreds. I know what you're thinking.
Well, preacher, you're not supposed to hate anyone.
I didn't say I hate anyone. I hate some things. And one thing that I hate the most is this. This is probably my least favorite thing on all the earth. How many of you set an alarm clock every morning? Ah, they're the devil, aren't they? It doesn't have to be a real clock, you know, like you used to have them. Ding, 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 ding. Most of you use your phones, right? Because they're pretty much, you know, foolproof, unless you want to say, my phone just didn't go off. But we know that's not true because phones just don't not go off. They do go off. You snooze them and claim that they didn't go off. And I want to talk to you a little bit about my hatred for these alarm clocks, because have you noticed that they just get more and more annoying? You ain't notice that? Huh? You ought to hear my daughter's alarm. My daughter's alarm makes me mad when I hear it. Can anybody relate to this? Because look, this is the thing. And you go through this and you have these choices because these are all pleasant sounds that you want to, you know, awake you from the middle of your slumber. Like this. There's some of my favorite ones. This is probably my most favorite because is this on? We get this on just for a second because we don't want them to miss out. What about this one? Do any of you have this? Huh? What? Here, this one's neat. Right? That screams to me, I want to throw something across a barking dog. Right? Your neighbor had a barking dog when you were trying to go to sleep. Why would you want a barking dog to wake you up? This one. This is... Huh? Oh, here we go. Now, this used to actually be my alarm clock, but it was in a different context. Oh, or this one. Yeah, here we go. Right? Because you're just excited about Monday, you're revving to go. Or this one. Oh, yeah. That says, I really want to get out of bed. The point being is this, we have all kind of alarms and alarm clocks, and we've seen them throughout the ages change. Remember when I was a kid, they had the radio alarm clock, so you could set it to your favorite station, right, to wake you up in the morning, right? And I just want to say this was before Jesus, but how many of you really, really enjoyed waking up to 97 Rock? Huh? 101 KLOL? Huh? So some of you know what I'm talking about. We had the radio alarm clocks, but either way, alarm clocks are annoying. So what we have a tendency to do is when we hear those alarms, I know what I want to do. How many of you have a snooze button? When you hear that alarm that annoys you, and how many of you do this? This is ridiculous to me. How many of you set your alarm ahead of time so you can snooze it and sleep a little longer? You woke yourself up. That's just stupid. Just set it when you want to get up and don't hit snooze. Right, but I can get 10 more minutes. You could have got 10 more minutes if you would have set it 10 more minutes where it was supposed to be and not ahead of time. So I want to talk to you about alarms and snooze buttons this morning. I promise you I'm going to talk to you more about that in light of Scripture. But I don't like alarm clocks. But aren't they necessary? Huh? Aren't they necessary? If you got somewhere you have to be, it's necessary. If you hit snooze too many times, what's going to happen? You're going to be late. And if you get in a habit of hitting snooze too many times and you're late, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your income. Bad things are going to happen. I want to talk to you about an alarm that God is saying is being sounded for us this morning. And I'm going to encourage you to do something before we ever get to the end of this. I'm going to say this. Don't hit the snooze button. Because the American church for long enough has hit the snooze buttons on God's alarm. And so as we look at this morning, as annoying as alarms can be, right? Because when you are an alarm type preacher, when you sound the trumpet and you say, here's what God says, you know what? You get all the critics come out of the woodwork. And they'll talk about, hey man, that preacher, he screams too much, he's too loud, he's too excited. I know all those things. And I can't help it. I'm that alarm clock guy. Because I read things in Scripture like we're going to read today, and I know this. I see them differently than you do. When I see things like we're about to look at in Romans chapter 13, where it tells me to wake up, I don't think it says like this. Honey, wake up here. No, it is that loud sounding alarm because God wants us to see the seriousness of when He sets an alarm for us to hear so that we will wake up and do what He's left us here to do. Let's read together Romans chapter 13 as we look at a message entitled Stop Hitting the Snooze Button. It's time to rise and shine. Romans chapter 13. He says this in verse 8. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. I'm not going to give you a debt conference here today. Stay away from it. If at all possible, it's bad. All right? For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be. What did he say? He said, everything that I have commanded you, pay attention. It's all summed up right here. This one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, whatever command you have heard, it is summed up here. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10 says, love does no harm to its neighbor. So you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to covet. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to murder if you truly do love them like God is telling us to love them. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I mean, you're thankful for the love of God that He showed us in Christ Jesus to fulfill the law. Watch this. And do this, understanding the present time. Now understand this, when Paul is writing to the church, he's sounding the alarm nearly 1900 years ago. And he's telling them, be cautious of this, pay attention. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. How many of you would say this? My salvation is nearer now than when I first believed at the age of 14. Definitely nearer now. People tell me, man, when do you believe Christ will return? Well, we're one day closer than we were yesterday. We're 1 minute closer. 3 seconds closer. 6 seconds closer. You get my point. Every day that we live, we ought to understand that it is pointing to the climactic event of the return of Christ. Understand that. He will, as He said, return to this earth. Paul is giving them this warning. He says, listen to me. Pay attention. The time has come because you're nearer than you were when you first believed. Watch what he says in verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. What is he talking about? Here's the thing. He's talking to the church, and a lot of these believers here were Gentiles by nature and by birth. And he's saying, these things have no place in your life anymore. Let me tell you this, if you're a believer here today and you've been a believer for some time and you're still doing the same things that you've always done that you know in your heart are not acceptable to God, let me tell you this. One, you're a believer who is in rebellion to God, or two, you're not a true believer at all. There's going to be a change in your life that is going to take place. He's telling them, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We could talk all day about how we could gratify the desires of the sinful nature, right? It could be lust, it could be greed, it could be popularity, it could be success, it could be money, it could be these sins that he mentioned, the sexual sins, the debauchery, it could be all of those things. So sin takes on many forms, right? Because I promise you, if we polled the congregation here today, All of you have a flesh that is sinful by nature that craves something. No matter what that something is, please pay attention to me right now. Stop trying to justify it. And he says, put it away. Put it away. He's saying this, in the end times. How many of you believe we're closer to the end than we ever have been? Listen, I still believe that. I still preach it. I still believe the Bible teaches it. I don't care what kind of articles on Facebook come out that don't believe in the rapture. I still believe in the rapture. Look, but the
word rapture was never mentioned in the Bible. Neither was the word car, but you drove one this morning here.
You listening? You say, well, I don't believe in it. Why would you not? God has always, always, always rescued the righteous from His wrath. How many of you know I've been freed from the wrath of God and I've been made righteous in Christ? How many of you know Noah? He didn't get not one drop of rain on his little forehead before God sealed him up in the ark. You go back and you look at it. Because of Noah's faith, it was accredited to him as righteousness. His faith in God allowed him to be spared the wrath of God when the whole world felt it. Let me tell you something. I'm more covered than Noah was ever covered because I'm covered by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Never, ever have to endure the wrath of God. Now, that's fine if you want to, because I understand there's lots of opinions. But I happen to believe that there's going to be a trumpet like the Word of God says, and that trumpet's going to sound, and I'm going to meet the Lord in the air like He said. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. That's fine. Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to point you to the Scriptures that take away your argument. So I believe in this. I believe He's going to rescue His church. And then I believe that He's going to come to this earth. And I believe He's going to do everything that He said He's going to do when He comes to this earth. He's going to rule and to reign. And He's going to be seen as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that that is so. So as we look at this, please pay attention. We are closer today than we were yesterday. He's talking to the believers here at Rome. And He's saying you're closer now than you were when you became a believer. So pay attention. What are His instructions? His instructions are not stay lazy, stay in your slumber, just coast till you get to heaven because you're secure. That's not what He said. He didn't say don't worry about your life. He didn't say don't worry about continuing to let the Holy Spirit regenerate you into who Christ paid for you to be by submitting to Him in obedience, and that obedience coming out in a lifestyle that glorifies God instead of a lifestyle that glorifies your sinful nature. He didn't say to do those things. In fact, He tells them the complete opposite. We live sometimes as Christians as if somehow we think that it's not important anymore to live righteous lives in this world. Right? Because Jesus paid it all to Him I owe, and I'm going to do anything I want to do now. How can you do that and trample over the blood of Jesus Christ and the commands from the Word of God? He's saying here, wake up, church. He tells us why. He doesn't just say, wake up because I told you to, right? Parents, can I tell you this? Can I help you out? Don't use that one on your kids. You listen? How many of you ever done it? Incriminate yourself. I got my hand up. Do it. Your mama did it. Your daddy did it. You thought you were supposed to do it. Don't do that. Aren't you glad God didn't do that? He tells us why. He says, don't do this. Here's why and here's how. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at the whys and the hows of all of this because some of you are asleep in your spiritual walk. And here's the thing. God desires that you wake up today and that you hear that alarm and you don't reach over and keep hitting the snooze button like you have for maybe years or months or however long it may have been. So He says, it's time for us to wake up. To rise and shine. Why? Look at the verses. 8 through 10 tells us this. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Why is this important? Others are in need of the Savior's love. Newsflash, I'll help you out. Jesus, in front of a few of His believers, took them to a mountain outside of Jerusalem. He said, bye. Are you listening? And He ascended into heaven, there from the Mount of Olives, where He will return to earth and cause a great earthquake, and we won't get into all that, but man, it gets exciting when you do. But Jesus takes a select few and He says, I'm going up, but I'm coming back. So go do what you're supposed to do. Go make disciples. How did He teach them to disciple people? By loving them. by loving them. Here's the thing. As we look at this, please understand something. He's saying, don't let any debt remain except the debt of love. You are indebted to these people that are around you to love them like Christ has loved us. Others are in need of the Savior's love. You don't believe it? Look around. How many hurting people do you see on a daily basis? How many people do you see on a daily basis that they desire more than anything to be loved? Listen, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to wake you up. I'm here to repeat exactly what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome. I'm going to repeat it just like he said it so that you can understand it. He says, it is time for us to see the importance of loving one another. The alarm is sounding. You know what? We live in a generation of people who don't feel loved. Full of depression, full of insecurity, full of suicide, full of murder. You telling me a person felt the love of Christ who can go into a building and kill dozens of people? No, the sad thing is that person has probably never even seen the love of Christ because the church is so busy doing their own life. That they don't take time to love the people who need love. Watch this, the people who aren't attractive. The people who don't offer me anything. Jesus went out and loved the people that others in their religious mindset hated. And he took those same people and he loved them in a way and he told them to take this same love and return this love to other people. Let me tell you something. That's why we're here today. We're here today because of the love of God which is shown in Christ Jesus. So verse 8 through 10 tells us this. We need to love. Why? Others are in need of our love. And he says this, and I'm going to break it down a little more for you in a minute. We need to also hear this alarm. Because time's not on our side. Time is not on our side. I know. It's old-fashioned, right? Preachers are supposed to teach you how to handle your stress in the workplace, right? Handling stress in the work environment. 3 points to do that. And I might find a scripture that says something about that, but you won't. And I'll conjure something up so you'll leave here and feel like you got something. I want you to leave here awake this morning. I want you to leave here understanding time is not on our side. American church, you are not guaranteed the rest of today, much less tomorrow. I don't mean to be harsh and I don't mean to be old-fashioned. I'm just telling you, the Apostle Paul is shaking the church up here saying, wake up! Wake up! You're running out of time! Oh, when we go to a funeral, we think about, man, what about this person? If I could have said one thing, I could have done one thing differently. Listen, there are people who you pass every single day who you neglect to show the love of Christ to, you neglect to share the gospel to, and you act as if you're going to have tomorrow to do it. And you walk around in circles talking about everything but the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm sick and tired of people thinking that they have time. You don't have time. It's urgent. Did you know the gospel message has always been urgent? No, you know what I'm talking about. We got missionaries that go overseas for years to build relationships before they ever share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not New Testament. Walk in that village, tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if they cut your head off, you will have a seat with the martyrs that have gone before you. Stop tiptoeing around the tulips like you got all day. You don't have all day. You know what? One day I'm going to stand before God and He's going to say, you know what, Kirk? You were way too urgent about the message of Jesus Christ. Or I'm going to be that one who stands before Him guilty of tiptoeing around the tulips and talking about the rain and the weather and the sun. Who knows what else? It doesn't matter. Time is not on your side, church. Would you please understand Paul is telling the Roman church time's not on your side? You say, but Kirk, you said it's been 1900 years. They didn't know that. Let me tell you this. I'm going to preach the same message until the day I die that Jesus could come back tomorrow. And if it's 1900 years from now, I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His return till He comes. His grace till He comes. His mercy till He comes. His love till He comes. His sacrifice till He comes. The fact that He will return. Time is not on our side. Don't think for a second that it is. How many of you have kids that are already grown? How fast did that happen? Huh? How many of you would say this? The older I get, the faster it goes. Time's not on your side. Wake up. Don't think for a second. Don't let the enemy loves to do this. Man, he'll put us in that rocking chair and lull us to sleep, right? Because God puts it on your heart to share the gospel with somebody, and here's what you say. You know how I know? I've done it. Well, I will tomorrow. Dum-dum, they're standing right in your face right now. What if they don't have tomorrow? Watch this. What if you don't have tomorrow? What if none of us have tomorrow? Because I'm going to let you in on a little something. God's Word teaches this. Don't plan for tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow has in store. But today, you know what I'm entrusted with today? To share the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the hope of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world that some would be ushered in by the Holy Spirit and receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. That is my purpose. You want me to mess you up? I don't care what you do for a living. That's your purpose too, if you're a born-again believer here today. But I thought my purpose was a plumber. No, now your purpose is a plumber. Oh yeah, you fix pipe because you have to. But while you're doing that, you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit enough to know that when those people cross your path, it's your duty to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, the hope, and the message of the cross with them every opportunity that you have. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. Nobody told you to preach it. You don't have to give them 3 points in a poem, I promise you. Show them that you love them. Teach them that God loves them. Show them about the cross. Show them about forgiveness. I promise you, before long, their heart will be softened to the gospel, and they will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. I've seen it too many times. But if I approach it like I have tomorrow, I'm in big trouble, huh? Paul says, wake up, church. Time's not on your side. Number three, he tells us this. Second part of verse 12, verse 11 and 12, let me read it for you, because I didn't. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. He says, now. Let me tell you this, if you've been hitting the snooze button on your Christianity, watch this. You know when you need to stop? Now. Here, let me tell you how I would actually voice that in the Greek. Right now. But here's how you do it in Southern terminology. Yeah. Right now. We don't have time to mess around. Paul's saying the time is now. That annoying alarm clock that I played for you, it's going off right now. I know what you'll do. Some of you will walk out of here. Well, I'm not going to do it. Or you may walk out of here and say you are going to do it knowing that you're not going to do it. That's what a lot of good people do, right? No, I pray today that God would show you the seriousness of when He sounds an alarm, it's for a purpose. For a purpose. Time is not on your side. Third thing is this. And I'm going to break all these down for you, and hopefully I will help you in what your response ought to be to this alarm. Anybody want to argue that there's not an alarm being sounded? Now, we hear it every day, don't we, believers? Huh? We see it around us all the time. Watch this. If you're not convinced yet, this point will convince you. I promise. Watch this. Darkness is ever increasing. Look what he says. Look what he says. Did you know the Apostle Paul, the same one who wrote this, said, in the end times, there's going to be lots of trouble. He gives a list of all the things that we're seeing happen in our society right now. People will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Disobedient to their parents, sexually immoral, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So watch this. You say, well, those things have always happened. They have, but let me tell you this, they've not always been accepted. How many of you who are from the older generation, the old school, you'd say, yeah, there's some things going on right now that never were accepted. We know people who did them, but they hid them. You know why they hid them? Because there was still shame involved in sin, and there should be. There should be. And every preacher who tells you that you shouldn't be ashamed of sin is a lying preacher. You ought to be ashamed of sin because Jesus Christ bore great shame on the cross and it belonged to you. When you pick it up, you ought to be ashamed. Darkness is ever increasing. Verse 12, the second part. Look at it. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. How many of you say this? people nowadays, for the most part, aren't they really more concerned with gratifying the desires of their sinful nature than pleasing a holy God? What do you think? Ask yourself, just look around at the people you know. I'll tell you this. Go on a Sunday morning. I'll give you permission to miss church. Do research. Go on a Sunday morning and drive to the boat ramps, the lake. And listen, I know I'm a fisherman. I love it. I do. Love to go fishing. Love to fellowship with the Lord on the water. But you go to the boat ramps, the lakes, the islands. Listen, I'm not preaching to you people if you do this. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. That's not what I'm saying. Don't leave here and say, that preacher said, if I miss church, go to the lake, I'm a bad person. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the person that is driven, listen to me, driven by their own pleasure. How many of you understand? There's nothing wrong with pleasure. But if you're driven by earthly pleasure, you're not heavenly minded. If you're driven by earthly goals, your goals aren't God's will. I promise you. So understand, as we look at this, I'm not being mean, I'm not being harsh, but we have to distinguish ourselves from the world. Go to the boat ramp and count cars. If you get there early, count people. Count them. Listen, I won't pick on the boat people, right? Because all the fishermen are mad. You don't know. Go to the golf courses. Go to the shopping malls. Huh? As people are fighting people for that item that they have to have. Driven by their greed. Driven by their pride, right? Because if their kid doesn't get it and another kid gets it, their kid's not going to think mom and dad love them as much as the other kid thinks it. That's stupid. Wake up. Darkness is ever increasing right before your very eyes. Watch it. Those of you who have lived long enough, you know this, don't you? How many of you in here are 60 or older? Raise your hand. I'm looking. Right? Some of you are proud of it. I'm 60. I still have my hair. Right? Some of you are proud. 60 and I bought this hair. Right? But the thing is, listen to me. You know this. Listen, these teenagers up here, they don't get it yet. They're born into a society that is as far gone as any society that I have ever seen or read about. I promise you. And God's not going to tolerate it forever. Pay attention. He can't. You ask Sodom and Gomorrah about it. Hello? Right, not well. You know, preacher, immorality is really not why God did that to Sodom and Gomorrah. Take your liberal junk and throw it in the trash. Homosexuality, listen to me. Homosexuality is the exact reason that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Stop letting people lie to you. They were immoral beyond anything the world had ever seen, and God said, enough is enough, and judgment came on that place. Do you think judgment's not going to come on this world? Think again. He's promised it. They're not going to get away with it. That ought to cause us to hear the alarm even that much more loudly as we walk through our lives every day. When we see that person who's wrapped up in the depths of sin, it ought to incite us, encourage us to do something to love them and to reach them and to show them the better life that they could have in Christ and the eternal life that He provided for them at the cross. So what should we do? We don't have to talk about, is there an alarm being sounded? You hear it, don't you? If you're a believer here today, I promise you, you can want to argue with me about this, but you don't have an argument. But I can tell you what Kirk thought. I told you what Paul's telling the church of Rome 1,900 years ago. So are we closer now than they were then? So should it be louder? Should it be more urgent? You bet. What should we do? What should our response be? Here we go. Number one, love others so they'll see Christ. Love others so they will see Christ. Did you know this is what Jesus left for His disciples to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors as yourself. Why is this so important? Huh? Because I can preach a gazillion sermons if I don't have love, the Word of God says that's just a bunch of clanging cymbals. It means nothing. I can uncover the depths of all the mysteries of the Word of God. And if I don't have love, I'm useless. If I'm motivated by me, if I'm motivated by this earthly kingdom, if I'm motivated by my greed, if I'm motivated by my sin, and I don't love other people, I am wasting the time that God has given me on this earth. Love others. Because love for others, whether you know this or not, or whether you believe it or not, solidifies to them your authentic faith in God. Because they don't want to know what you say. Did you know this? They don't. Now, have you ever met these Christians who like to show everybody how much they know about the Bible? Look, if you can't get the simple part about the Bible, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, don't try to uncover a bunch of stuff to me to prove that you know things. Where's your love? I believe that's what God would be screaming if He was sounding this alarm in this church this morning. Where's your love? Where's your love for those people who are in need of more than anything to feel the love of God in their life? Oh, but you don't have time, right? Or, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. No, He's saying today is the time that we need to see that we need to show love. Love others. Solidifies that you truly love God. Did you know that? Hello? Huh? Watch this. Y'all know me. We don't mind looking at the Word of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Y'all let this sink in your heart. You ready? 2 verse 9, it says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. You say, well, I'm not talking about hate. Let me tell you something. If you don't love someone enough to give them the only message that'll rescue them from judgment and hell and give them forgiveness of sin and eternal life, and you have it and you don't use it, you hate that person. Are you listening to me? You don't truly love that person. And last time I checked, the opposite of love, come on, elementary school teachers, hate. You don't love them enough to give them the message that will rescue them and say, well, preacher, I don't like that you talk about hell because I've read these articles that say when you do that, you're trying to cause people to be afraid. You better be afraid of the coming judgment. You better be afraid of it. Because here's the thing. It is coming and there's nothing you can do to stop it. The only thing you can do is give people hope in the midst of it. And the way that we give them hope is show them the love of God in Christ. That's true love. My child, when they were little, was walking into a beach, and I saw it in the ocean that it was a shark-infested ocean. If I cared about my son, would I go, hey, go on and play with the sharks, buddy? Tell my daughter, hey, when we get through building a sandcastle, let's go play with man-eating sharks. No. It would be inevitable. Listen, sharks don't mean to eat people. I know that. I've seen enough Discovery Show special. But they do. Huh? They just want to eat. They're eating machines. So here's the thing. If we know someone's in danger, if we truly cared about that person, wouldn't we give them the words of life, the words of hope that would rescue them? Answer it, please. Yes. Isn't that so incriminating in the American church? Yeah, because we walk past them every day and we hate them. And we show it because we do not give them the love of Christ that will rescue them from their greatest enemy, sin. You know what? I'm thankful that there were a group of people. When I was a teenage kid, they showed me the love of Christ. You know why? Because guess what? Nobody knew this about me. All I wanted was love. And you know what? I wanted God's love. I just didn't know anything about it. And there were people who showed me the love of Christ, who sacrificed themselves to make me important enough to take me and to share the gospel with me and to teach me the Word of God and to pour their Christian lives into mine so that after I became a believer, I could grow. I'm thankful for that. We've got to keep doing this, church. We can't fall asleep. And if we're already asleep, we can't stay there. Love for others shows them that you truly love God. Watch this. It proves to you that you truly love God. You're going to have a hard time saying that you love God when you walk past somebody in their filth and you don't give them hope. Hello? God knows. I don't need your amens. If you don't have burdens for other people, let me say this. Wake up. Wake up. I don't care who they are. Wake up. If you're a teacher, let me say this. You don't have a burden for your students. I'm not talking about a burden to give them a better backpack. Man, there's going to be a bunch of kids with good backpacks. Go straight to hell. Risk your job to share with them the love of Christ. Where was that cricket alarm again? You say, well, Pastor, you act like you're calling people to rebel against this world. I am. I am. Just as Jesus rebelled against the messed up system that he came into. Rebelled against the system. Why? It's in you to do that. It's in you if you're a believer to live in righteousness, to love the unlovable, to do the unthinkable. Love others so they'll see Christ. Number two, live like time is ticking away. We said it's ticking. How are you living? Huh? Because if time's ticking away, right? Your life will be intentional. Your life will be intentional. You will wake up every day and your intention will be to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? I'll share this and I don't mind. I've failed more than I've succeeded in this, but I'm thankful for the times where I understood and I came to the conclusion that it's not for me to just go around and walk in my slumber. That when I go to that restaurant at lunch and I order my food, it is my obligation as a believer to see that this person crossed my path so that I can share with them the love of God which is in Christ. What would happen? What would happen if we lived, watch this, intentional Christian lives? Put our lives, testimony of Jesus Christ, on display. What if we cared about that as much as we cared about our retirement? Our success, that you're not guaranteed, either one, by the way. Our longevity in this world, you're not guaranteed that either. What if we cared, just stop and ask yourself that question. What if I cared about those things enough? Would I be intentional? I'm waiting for the answer. Should we pray and dismiss or should we finish? Yeah, I'd be intentional. Not only would I be intentional, it would be urgent. I know I'm misunderstood because I have urgency and passion when I preach the Word of God, especially when you get to something like this, and I do not apologize to anyone. It's urgent. Folks, think about the grief that you feel when you lose a loved one that you didn't get to say goodbye to. That's heart-wrenching, isn't it? What about the multitudes that will lose to sin that you didn't share the gospel with? Now, let me tell you this. It's not your job to save them. I get that 100%. I'll never be guilty of not saving someone because I can't save people. But let me tell you this. I pray that every opportunity that I have to share the gospel on this earth, that I would be urgently obedient and intentional to share the gospel with that individual because that person might have crossed my path so they could hear the truth that will give them life. And what I don't want to do, I don't want to see someone who I had the opportunity to share the gospel with step off into eternity with no hope. Watch this. When I could have done something about it. You say, do you really think it's your fault, Kirk? Listen, the Apostle Paul, the same guy we're reading here, told the church, there are many among you who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. He said they would know about God, but you're not showing them. You're not teaching them. No, we'd rather teach people how to live their best life now. Right? Because people like that kind of stuff. You know what my best life now is? dying to Kirk Hall so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be lived in my life so that others will see Him in me. That's my best life as a believer. Anything else is a miserable life. If you're a believer here today and you're asleep and you're living like that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. How do I know about it? Been there. I know it's miserable to be lukewarm, isn't it? Because we know God doesn't approve of our lukewarmness. Live like time is ticking away, intentionally, urgently. Watch this, effectively. Effectively. How can you be effective sharing the gospel? Watch this. Know the gospel message. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope, the life that He gives us in Him. Let me tell you this, if you're a believer here today, you know it, don't you? Huh? I promise you, if you're saved, if you got saved last week, you know enough to lead someone else to Jesus Christ by sharing them the gospel message. You know enough. You know what it is? Hey, man, I'll tell you right now, I was walking down a road of sin. Everywhere I turned, man, I was messing things up. And then this Sunday, I went to church, and this preacher, he preached about Jesus, and something happened inside, and I felt God draw me out of my sin. And watch this. I turned from my sin because I saw how evil it was for the very first time. I haven't used any scripture yet, if you haven't noticed that. Because did you know this? Watch this. It's going to mess you up. The apostles led thousands to Christ before the New Testament was ever written. Whoa. Check that out. What did Paul say? Man, I can't tell you. All I know is this. I was on the road to Damascus. I was persecuting Christians, man. Minding my own business, doing what I thought I was supposed to do. And all of a sudden, a light shone from heaven. I've been changed forever. I've repented of my sin. I've turned to Christ. He's the one true God. If you don't turn to Him, you are going to perish just like I was going to perish. Why have we complicated this? Because it's easier to sleep when it's too complicated, isn't it? I don't want to get up for that because I don't really, it's too big for me to understand. Really? Effective. How do I effectively share the gospel? Here's this. Guess what me and every person I come in contact with have in common? Watch this. Sin. I don't care what country they come from, what culture they're in, what language they speak, what kind of clothes they wear. Me and every single person that I come in contact with are depraved through and through with sin. I don't have to build a relationship. I may never see them again. I don't have to learn their culture. Don't really care about their culture. It's irrelevant. What I have to do is I have to show them that God saves sinner, of which I was the worst. And He saved me and He can save you. That's not really that hard to teach. Don't complicate. Be effective in it. Love others so they'll see Christ. Live like time is ticking away. And last, let our light shine in the darkness. I said it's time to rise and shine. When are we going to shine, church? Huh? When are we going to shine? When are we going to be the hope in the midst of chaos? We're in chaos, right? When are we going to be hope in the midst of chaos? Let me tell you something. The apostles, you know what they were? You don't know this, some of you, but they were hope in the midst of chaos. Did you know this? Just as Jesus told them Jerusalem was going to fall, Jerusalem fell. Persecution came upon the church. People were running scared for their life. And you know what the apostles still preached? Hope in Christ in the midst of chaos. Hope from dark, dingy, dirty, cold prison cells. Hope as they're being nailed upside down to a tree because they confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they still preach hope to a lost and chaotic and dying world. How about this? When do we return to being hope in the midst of chaos and stop acting like chaos is not a problem? No, sin's a problem. Look around you. That's what Paul's telling. Darkness is a problem, but be light in the midst of darkness. Truth in the midst of error. Hope in the midst of chaos. In the midst of all the enemy's lies. Listen, we are absolute truth. But you know what we do? We shrink at the challenge, don't we? Huh? We live in our regrets. I should have. Man, I wished I would have. Oh, I had the perfect opportunity to. Listen, maybe you found yourself in that place. Don't stay there. Wake up. That's what this message is all about. Wake up from that. Light in the darkness. Hope and chaos. Truth in the midst of all the lies. All the deception. You think the enemy's not very deceptive? You look around you. Huh? Every time I see someone strung out on methamphetamine, I get to see them a lot. Let me tell you this. I love them. I love them. Because they're looking for hope. They're just looking for hope in the wrong thing. But every time I see them, let me tell you something. Every time I see them, I talk to them about it. You think this isn't deception? Man, this has cost you your family, your life, your health. And you thought it was good or you would have done it. I know you did. You thought it was going to fulfill something, right? Wouldn't it be great if instead of turning our religious noses up at these people, what we did instead, we showed them the love of Christ in spite of their mistakes. We taught them the truth that this that you're a part of is deception. I'll tell them, I promise you. I've told them in the back of a police car, hey, you're deceived and it's high time you recognize you're deceived. Right? And for all of you who want to make sure that I don't violate their rights, I ask them beforehand, do you mind if I share with you a new life that you could have? No, sir, I don't mind. Sure you don't. You're on your way to jail. Nobody ever minds to hear about a new life when you're in handcuffs. So let's talk about this new life. How's your old life working out for you?
Not good.
Yeah, not good. And here's the thing. I don't mind being the agent that God used to get your attention. But now that I've got your attention, let me tell you about something. There is a God who loves you in spite of your bad choices. Because He loved me in spite of my bad choices. And you know what? Had it not been for Jesus, I may be right there with you wearing me a nice set of silver bracelets too. But because of the love of Jesus that somebody showed me, the truth of the gospel message, my life was changed. Now let me shine a little bit of hope into your life. And from there we go. Right? I got 2 hours. Huh? Yeah. I learned something from the Apostle Paul. You can preach to people in jail. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it till they make me stop doing it. Huh? And here's the thing. As long as I ask them, teachers, listen to me. Are you paying attention? As long as you ask them, do you mind if I share with you something? No, ma'am. Share with them.
But you don't understand, the school's different.
No, it's not. You think it's different. It's not different. You're allowed to carry your faith everywhere you go. If they want to shut you up, here's what you do. Hey, you print out nice little Bible verses and you just happen to have them on your desk. So at your break, you can read them. Right? Teachers get to walk off of school property, smoke a little cigarette at break. Why can't you read a little Bible at break? Huh? You listening? None of our teachers in our district do that. Back in my day, they had their own room, right, in the school. You walk by and it looked like Cheech and Chong were in the teachers' conference. Cheech and Chong in the teachers' workroom. Let our light shine. Be hope and chaos, truth in the midst of all the lies that this world's facing. Let me tell you, I've been told a bunch of lies. So have you. So has everyone. There's only one truth. Truth is this, that God loved you so much that He sent His only Son to die on the cross to rescue you from your sin, and He's the only hope you have to turn to Him, to repent of your sin, and to receive eternal life and forgiveness. Be hope and chaos, be truth in the midst of all the lies, and be righteousness in the midst of sin. That's what He's talking about. He's saying, clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. What is that? When we clothe ourselves with Jesus, we clothe ourselves with righteousness. We do righteous things, and other people see those righteous things, and they inquire about those righteous things. And we say, the only reason that I do these things is not so that I can look good. The only reason that I do these things is because Jesus Christ changed me. Because had it not been for Jesus Christ, I'd be doing the unrighteous things with you. I'm not condemning you for those things, but I promise you, you're condemned already. Oh, isn't that the gospel? That's what John says. I promise you, you're condemned already, but today you can be made free through Jesus Christ. So as we look at this church, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Paul says, I'm writing this so you wake up, so you hear the truth. Because time's growing near and things are getting darker. Are you going to pay attention to the call? Or are we going to do like the American church is known to do? Hit that snooze button one more time so we can get about 15 minutes more sleep. And one day what we are going to do is we're going to continue to hit that snooze button so many times that before you know it, we're a godless nation and we can't hear an alarm going off anymore. Are you listening to me? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Are you going to continue to hit the snooze button or are you going to rise and shine? Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask that if you have to leave, please leave quietly. I told the men before this message, I believe the key to revival in our area rests right here. With men and women who aren't afraid of the truth, to hear the truth, to live the truth, to tell the truth. Maybe you're here today and you say, Kurt, I'm going to be honest with you. In fact, I want to be real honest with you. I've been pushing the snooze button in my life. Oh, there are things that I know God has told me to do, but I've done my rathers. You know what that is? But I'd rather. And Kirk, today I want to repent of that. And I want to make that right. But even more than that, I want to ask the Holy Spirit to sound His alarm in my heart again to wake me up. That I would do the things that God has called me to do. You're that person. Raise your hand. I want to pray with you and pray for you. You say, that's me. I hear the alarm. Who hears the alarm this morning? I hear the alarm, and I'm not going to hit the snooze button any longer. I hear the alarm, and I'm not going to play as if this is a game any longer. I hear the alarm, and I understand this could be the last alarm that I hear on this earth. And I want to be obedient. Raise it up high. I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to get honest with God in your life right now. Because I found this, until I get honest with Him, nothing's going to change. Say directly to Him, Lord God, I have not approached Your gospel with urgency. I've not approached Your love intentionally. And God, from this day forward, would Your Spirit please impact me, shake me up, rattle my cage, so that I would leave here a man or a woman of God who says, I'm no longer going to hit this snooze button. I hear your alarm. And I want to love others just as Jesus loved me. And I want to live like time is ticking away intentionally, urgently, effectively. And Lord, I want to let my light shine so that others will see you in the midst of darkness. The altars are open. You don't have to wait for me to tell you. You can come on right now. If you're a believer here today, all you got to do is boldly go before His throne of grace and confess to Him. Maybe you're here today. You say, Kirk, I don't know that I've truly ever surrendered my life to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. But right now in my heart, I feel God drawing me to turn from my sin and to turn to Jesus and receive the eternal life and the forgiveness that you talked about that He provided for me on the cross. You say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me from my sin today. Would you slip up your hand right now? Raise it high. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Raise it up and hold it up so I can see you. You say, I feel the Spirit of God telling me right now in my heart, a feeling I've never felt before, that I need to turn from my sin and turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Raise it up high for me so I can see you. Thank you, ma'am. Keep it up for me. Would you look at me, ma'am, with your hand in the air? I want to see you eye to eye. You believe right now that God's leading you to turn from your sin and to turn to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I want you to stay right there. You praise Him for what He's doing. He's already doing it. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me from my sin and from myself, I want to surrender to Him as my Lord and my Savior. I hear His alarm, but His alarm is different than you talked about earlier. His alarm is to turn my life over to Him. And I'm acknowledging that today I'm turning my life to the Lord Jesus. Anyone like that? Ma'am, if you would, look at me eye to eye. Just once again, everybody else is praying. And I promise you this, the believers here are praying for you. You believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that He rose 3 days later, so that you could have new life today. You believe the Spirit's telling you to receive that new life. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do something brave. The Bible says this, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, and we shall be saved. Is your desire that God saves you today? I tell you this, He put that desire in you. We confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. To confess with our mouth is to openly say, God, I'm here. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I turn from my sin and I turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you be willing to do that publicly right now, out loud? We're going to join in with you. This prayer will not save you. What this prayer is doing is being obedient to the Word of God. You're saying, God, here I am, and here's my life. I'm turning from my sin and I'm turning to you, Lord Jesus. Are you willing to do that today? Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need you to save me right now. Lord, I hear your voice. And I feel you drawing me. I accept your new life. I turn from my sin. I turn from myself. And I turn to Jesus, the only sacrifice, the only one who died in my place so that I could be forgiven. Lord Jesus, I know that you rose again. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would raise me to new life just as you were raised to new life. I give my life to you. I surrender my all. Fill me with your Spirit. Teach me to live this life. Ma'am, one more thing as everyone's praying. I'm going to ask you to do something praying. While they're still praying, you just make your way out this side right here. There's going to be someone who's going to meet you right here. They're going to take the Bible and they're going to show you what just happened in your life. If you would, I know it takes some courage, but God's going to give you that courage. She's going to meet you right here. Anyone else who says, I need Jesus to save me? Oh, I hear his voice calling me out of darkness. Maybe you're here and you're that believer and you said, man, I wish I could have gone down front and really just got honest with God. Listen, get honest right where you are. If you want to humble yourself to the full extent and get out here and get on the altar, that's fine. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life and to do what only He can do.
You are the only one I need. I bow all of me at your feet. I worship you alone. Giving me more than I could ever have wanted, and I want to give you my.